Good times and great music at 2NURFM 103.7. Well, our next guest is one of those blokes that's kind of done it all. He's an explorer and has spent decade after decade sailing around the world. He's done an around-the-world sailing adventure, and he was also in that ill-fated 1998 Sydney to Hobart yacht race where sadly six sailors lost their lives. And he'll be at the Newcastle Probus Club next Tuesday talking about some of that. And his experience becoming an author as well. He's a local young-ish man, Tony Mowbray. Good morning. Welcome along, mate.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Well, you said before we started that I look younger than you think I sound.
You
so
do.
I thought I'd repay the compliment.
You look like a young Tom Cruise.
There we go. See, that's the way to do it. Well, that $50 is coming your way in the next couple of minutes.
Thank you.
Mate, sailing has been your... for a lot of your years, pretty much synonymous with yourself. It can be considered somewhat of an elegant pursuit, but it does have its challenges from time to time. And 1998, certainly, it came hunting for you, didn't it?
Yeah, elegance is not a word I'd use. I started when I was 11, did my first Sydney Hobart when I was 18 in 1973. The 1998 race was just an incredible thing, you know, like six men died, 55 are rescued, boats sank. It changed my life forever and the lives of many other people.
Well, was anybody expecting the conditions to be bad, full stop? Obviously not as bad as they became, but was there a lot of pre-warning that it's going to be a rough run down there?
Yeah, we had a weather forecast that told us we were going to get a certain wind strength. That was wrong, but of course nature will do what it wants to do when it wants to do it. So you can't hold anyone accountable for that. Mm. There were other factors that came into the equation as well. So we essentially had an average wind strength for 15 hours of around about 150 kilometres per hour, and the waves were on average 60 to 70 feet high and up to 100 feet high. And they were sheer walls of water. They weren't like happy, friendly campers of waves.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in the middle of that, it's not like you can just turn around and go back because you're still in the middle of it anyway. Mm. I mean, what's going through your mind when waves are that high and you and the sailors on your ship have got to sort of, you got to get through it?
Yeah, well, on the Sunday afternoon, which is about 24 hours or so after the start, we were knocked down. We were put upside down and we surfed down the face of a 60-foot wave upside down. A lot of things happened at that point in time. The mast snapped, some skylights imploded and allowed tons of water to come in the boat. Some of my crew were seriously injured with crushed rib cages, broken wrists, broken legs, head wounds, and knocked unconscious, etc. We came up the right way. We cut the rig loose, bailed the boat out, got some of the injured guys down below, and we essentially just set off for a 15-hour ride, which was just the fight for our life. We just thought that the next wave would be the one that would kill us.
Mm. And when you say next wave, I mean that's just wave after wave.
After wave. You survive one wave, which... you know, takes you right to the brink, and then when you survive that, your next goal is to survive the next one. It's as simple as that. There's nothing else in your life for that 15-hour period. No birthdays, Christmas, holidays, what you might have for dinner that night, all that's out the door.
Yeah, it's just wave after wave after wave.
Exactly.
Surviving all of that and notwithstanding the six sailors that did not on other ships there, a couple of years later... another bright idea, which some might sound, a bit of a challenge. I actually don't mind the idea actually going around the world by yourself. Nobody else
well,
to with
no,
you.
No one else will put up with me.
There you go. That's it. I mean, how long did that take, and what was that like once you were really out in the middle of it all again, but this time by yourself?
Yeah, prior to the 98 Hobart, a couple of years prior to that, I'd committed to attempting to sail solo, non-stop and unassisted around the world. The 98 Hobart, as you might imagine, sat me fair and square on my backside for a while. I walked away from that, but then a few months later, me being as crazy as I am, I recommitted to it. And then in October 2000, I headed out of Newcastle Harbour. I spent 181 days at sea continuously on my own. Didn't go anywhere, didn't stop anywhere, just went around the world and sailed back into Newcastle Harbour. I saw land for a total of 3 days out of 181. I didn't see a human being for 6 months. That was really good. And
I told you.
Yeah, I know, I'm with you. No one will go with me. And honestly, the trip itself, you can segment it into three two-monthly segments. The first 2 months and the last 2 months was the rough, tough, cold Southern Ocean, snowing while you're sailing, big seas, cut grey, you know, just you don't see the sun for weeks. But the middle 2 months, I was in the Atlantic and the South Atlantic, and that's the sunscreen and the sunnies and the heat and the sunrises and the sunsets and the whales and the dolphins, and that made up for a hell of a lot of the hard stuff at the start and the back end.
Considering this was only a couple of years after the Sydney to Hobart yacht race, when you when your family and friends knew that we were committed to doing this crazy adventure, was there a lot of, if not backlash, but certainly a lot of heightened concern?
No, the concern was mainly with me, you know. My children were very young. Like, at the time that I committed to the Around the World trip, Holly was 5 and Jordan was 3. And Holly had a 9th birthday while I was at sea on the Around the World trip. So most of the pressure came from within me. Lorraine was extremely understanding and supported me all the way. People were so helpful, like the community got behind us so much over the years. And it was really weird. I remember being at Cape Horn, which is like the holy grail of sailing. I was at Cape Horn, the tip of South America. They call it Fin del Mundo, end of the world. And I was there on my boat, rounding Cape Horn, and it was slightly less than 2 years before that I'd been on the same boat in Bass Strait with my mates. And I'm like, how the hell did this happen? And I wasn't on my own, but because on board with me in spirit were all the people that have helped me over the years and still continue to help me.
Yeah. Look, a crazy couple of years there, and obviously a lot of other ventures, in and around between, culminating in deciding to put all this stuff down in a book. I mean, it's a different type of adventure. When you're deciding to put all your life story into a book, Tony, is it really, how much do you relive all of those adventures more so when you're actually chronicling them?
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's been a really interesting journey. I sat to the keyboard back in 2001 and started typing, and it's 24 years later. I haven't typed continuously, of course, but I've been distracted, as I can be easily. But it's been an incredible journey putting this, chronicling what's happened, these key cornerstone events in my life and the lives of others around me. And I would, for example, be writing and I'd ring one of my 98 Hobart crew and I'd say, yeah, do you remember what happened about this? And then we'd start talking, then we'd start laughing, and then 3 hours later you get off the phone. Like, it's just been an incredible emotional journey.
Yeah, it's research, but it's also distracting, isn't it,
exactly,
at the same time?
Yeah, it's very stimulating.
Look, a lot of stuff in there, I'm sure, and folks have a chance to hear you speak in full next Tuesday, the Newcastle Probus meeting. Tony, as always, a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by today, and great talk ahead next Tuesday. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. Have a great day.
There he is, around the world adventurer, Tony Marbury. He will be Newcastle Probus at their meeting next Tuesday. And we have some information on that event for South Sleaze Club. You'll find it our events calendar at 2NURFM.com.au.